Chris was going to come up. There are a lot of questions, and we've got about 15 minutes, so we'll try our best. When I say we, Christopher will try his best, but we'll give it a go. Thank you, Christopher. So the first question we have is, in Lamentations, they mourned because God punished Israel directly for sin due to the Old Testament curses for disobedience principle. How do we mourn for the church today if this principle no longer applies?
That's a really good question. Thank you, whoever asked that question. And it is true, isn't it, that under the Old Covenant, the penalty for sins had not yet been paid. Nonetheless, their sins were forgiven. They were justified by grace alone, through faith alone, on the grounds of the sacrifice that was to be paid, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So the reason they were forgiven is the same the reason we're forgiven. They were forgiven because Christ would die. How did they... Let me just... Yep, mine keeps... Yep, thank you. So how do we mourn for the church today? I mean, it's true that the sins of the people are forgiven. The sins of the covenant people of God are forgiven in every age on the grounds of the death of Christ. But God disciplines his church. And that verse in 1 Peter chapter 4... Verse 17, that judgment begins with the household of God. Judgment in the sense of sifting and refining begins with the household of God. That's as true today as it's ever been true. I think that's the answer. So it's not that there's a complete difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. God disciplined his people then. He disciplines us now.
This one says, I appreciate that those that understand Christ's suffering experience will see strong allusions to Jesus in Lamentations 3, but how about those that don't have that understanding? So the original readers.
Yeah, thanks. It's a really good question, isn't it? So when I went through Lamentations 3, I kept dropping hints about where we were going, and you thought, I know where you're going. We don't know what the original readers would have thought. And it's very interesting that in Peter's first letter, he says, I think I did mention this at one point, that he says that the prophets under the old covenant, they searched and inquired carefully, 1 Peter 1 verse 10, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating. And so there's this sense of an old covenant believer reads or sings or hears the poems of Lamentations, and the Spirit of Christ is breathing through those poems, and as a believer listens to them under the old covenant, they are thinking, this is leading somewhere, this is pointing somewhere. They don't know with the clarity that we know where it's pointing, but they do know that it's pointing somewhere. And so it's not true that the original readers had absolutely no idea. They did have a sense that it was pointing somewhere greater. And you see this with Simeon and Anna at the beginning of Luke's gospel. They have their prayer meetings in the temple, and they're waiting. They're waiting for God's Christ to come. And they do that from the scriptures. I think I just want to say, be careful what we assume about what the original readers might have thought or understood. Might be more than we think.
Lamentations, the emphasis seems to be on lamenting the horror of God's judgment. Please can you expand on how you landed on lamenting the sins of the church as opposed to judgment as the main application?
Yeah, thank you. Why did I focus mainly on the church? I think the answer is that, I mean... The misery of Lamentations does describe the world in which we live. So my sort of horizon zero, you know, going back to all of humanity, is part of it. But Lamentations is songs of the covenant people who've been unfaithful to the covenant. So you get steadfast love and faithfulness and covenant words. And we've sinned, we've transgressed, we've been unfaithful to the covenant. And the covenant people is the church. So the old covenant people is the old covenant church of God. And there's a continuity between that old covenant church and the new covenant church. That's why I think the church is the main focus for reading Lamentations. Good question.
And sort of following on from that, I guess, how is Lamentations applied regarding the sins of the church today versus the sins of Israel? So the church today doesn't get the same exile punishment in this world, but that is true of Israel's old covenant.
Yeah, they were exiled. It's interesting that the New Testament describes us as Christians as exiles. So we are exiles. You know, Peter begins his first letter to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion. We are exiles. James begins his letter a little bit similarly. We're away from home. We are exiled. So it's not quite true to say that we don't have it in a national sense, that we've all been sort of deported to another country. But we are away from home, and in that sense, we are exiles longing to be brought home.
Mm. Is suffering as Christians now evidence of God's judgment or his discipline?
I guess both. I mean, if I belong to Jesus, all my sin, past, present, and future, is covered by his death. And nothing that happens to me is the punishment for my sins, because Jesus paid it all. That's kind of bottom line. It's absolutely critical to know that. If you're a Christian believer, all your sin, past, present, future, is paid for by Jesus and his sacrifice on the cross. That's just really critical to know that. But Hebrews 12 says that we are, God is our Father, and as a Father who loves us, he disciplines us. So I think it's fair to say that he is disciplining us. He is conforming us to the image of his Son.
Thank you. Could you please expand more on your comment about Lamentations 3:33? If God doesn't yield judgment as naturally as mercy, do you reconcile that with his full sovereignty?
Yeah, I mean, it's that strange comment that he doesn't afflict sort of from his heart. And it's hard to know what that means, because everything God does, God does. God doesn't do anything sort of reluctant. God acts because God is perfect holiness and all-powerful and pure and so on. But we somehow have to take seriously that there's joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. And we're not told that there's joy in heaven over a sinner who doesn't repent. And we're told that in some sense this work of salvation is close to God's heart. I'm not sure how we tie that all together in terms of our understanding of God, but we just need to recognise that. It's actually rather wonderful.
Yeah. There's a few questions on the nature of lament.
Yeah.
So what exactly is lamenting? How do we do that in a godly way without getting sort of angry and judgmental?
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah. I think that the short answer is sing the Psalms. And now we're in a Presbyterian church, we do sing Psalms. Which is what the Bible tells us to do, so we ought to. Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 tell us that we should sing psalms. And if you sing psalms, you will lament. Not all the time, of course, but you will sing many psalms. And as you sing them, you will lament. We've just sung a version of Psalm 13. And as we did so, we were lamenting as we sang, "How long, O Lord, how long?" That, I think, is probably the simplest answer.
We'll just have a couple more. If Lamentations is about God's people as a collective going through suffering, are there any lines that we can draw as individuals?
Yeah, I think so. Our problem for many of us, brought up in an individualistic culture, is that we begin with me and then maybe think about us. The Bible tends to think about us and then me as belonging to us, as it were. any suffering that I or any one of us suffers is the result of sin. You know, sin came into the world, Romans 5, through one man, and death through sin. So not necessarily an individual sin of mine that's led to a particular suffering. Of mine, but all suffering, the fact of getting older, which I'm very conscious of, is the result of sin. That's it's been in a world into which sin has come. I'm a sinner amongst a world of sinners. That's why I'm suffering. So sure, it's true for us as individuals as well, but I just want to encourage us to try and think corporately, perhaps a little bit more than we usually do.
Final question, how do we lament with hope? Would this be sort of hoping for his character and his promises? Can you expand a little more?
Yeah, I think so. I think what the Man of Sorrows calls to mind in chapter 3, the covenant promises and faithfulness of God, is a wonderful thing. And his hope is based not on the current circumstances. He looks around and it's pretty miserable. But he trusts the God who's made these promises, and he trusts that God will, in terms of that song, I'll rest on every promise of his word. I'm going to trust that, every single one.